Morning brings dawn, and dawn a new day. But what if this day was different? What if this day you could see beyond the surface of reality to the essence of creation? Well, come along on a journey to a place where the sun doesn't rise or set, where what you choose is what you get. It's a place that's all around you, but you haven't seen it yet. This is How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo.
Well, good evening, and welcome once again to How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo, and I am your host, Michael Galileo. Happy once again to be here, as I always say, and I am again once again this evening. So, to quote our Henry Miller, the universe is the world is not to be put in order; the world is in order, and it is for us to put ourselves in unison with that order. So, how we go about doing that is, a good part of how we spend our waking hours, trying to get in line with that way that the world is working, the way that things are going on, and often coming up confused and sometimes damaged, often very successful, but we're trying to increase the odds of success and decrease the probability of damage by explaining here on this show how it is that this universe works. And I have the opportunity to be able to explain this and go through this and talk to people about this. I also had an opportunity this morning to do this on a local television show. Local artist that is the host of a morning show had me on as a guest again today. My fourth visit to the show. And we had a wonderful time talking about all the aspects of how the universe works. And I'm going to be talking about this tomorrow to a school of young children, about 4 and 5 years old, pre-K children in a day school locally. So we're going to try to explain to those folks early on in their evolution and in their absorption of knowledge how it is that the universe actually works in simple form, so that they can carry that with them. And, once again, try to eliminate any of the damage and increase the probability of success. And, the show this evening doesn't really have a theme. The way the universe works is if you don't put it together and get it in on time to the person that does the website, you don't get it up and listed. So there's nothing to reference. So I didn't have a theme for tonight. And I thought, well, that's okay, because we've had a theme every night for a long time. So I was thinking we could kind of do a potpourri. After my show this morning, kind of going from one edge of the universe to the other, the audience, and even though I had been on the show 4 times, it was important to try to explain to anyone who hadn't heard or seen my appearance on the show before and heard my perspective on how this universe works, that they needed a little bit of being brought into the loop. So we made sure that we did that, and I thought, well, that's kind of good for us to do on this show this evening, because it's been over 3 months now that the show's been on the air, and I've been endeavoring to explain to people from many different schools of thought and perspectives the different elements of how it is that everything in this universe becomes the way that it does. And it can get sometimes lost in the details, but it really is a very simple concept. When we're born here, when we become self-aware, it gets confusing. Had a conversation with Chaim, the host this morning on the of the show when I was on. And we talked about, he brought up a habit of his. He happens to be smoke cigarettes, and on occasion, not very often, but occasional. And he, it's something that he's not terribly happy about. And I used to be a cigarette smoker, so I can appreciate that. And he asked me if any of what it is that I understand could be applied to the reason behind the cigarettes. And, you know, my first response was that it's our response to the neuroses that comes from our self-awareness. before we realized we were here, we didn't have the neuroses of realizing that we're here and therefore having to constantly struggle to deal with the circumstances that knowing that you're here brings about. Before we knew we were here, we were blissfully in the Garden of Eden in our state of mammal cells and hung out by the waterfall each day, picking nits off of each other and eating the fruits from the trees and, you know, just being part of the ongoing reality. But then a couple of million years ago, there was a change to the DNA of the hominid species that we were in our mammal state. And because of that, our systems mutated to grow a human brain on top of our mammal brain. And, of course, our mammal brain, I mean, that was nothing new because our mammal brain is just a mutation that grew on top of our reptilian brain, and they're all still down there underneath our human brain. And, you know, it's the human brain that gives us the ability to see duality and contrast and depth of field the way we do, and therefore see objects as objects and things as things. We don't really see what's going on around us because we're kind of now in an illusionary state of the world around us. So, but that doesn't mean we haven't been able to effectively alter it. I mean, that's what we do. Even though we don't understand it, we constantly struggle to figure out what makes things tick and how things work so that we can manipulate the reality to cause it to be more the way we would like it to be. That's what we've been doing since we became self-aware. And interestingly enough, I had an article that I thought I would read. This is, you know, to kind of back up what it was that I was just saying about our self-awareness and how it could have happened. And I have an article here from Reuters News Service, and this was dated 2002, so it's quite a while back. In space, 7 trips around the sun ago. And what we're talking about here is an article that says, it talks about this gene that separates early humans from apes. Interesting information. So this is what they had to say about it. A gene that separates humans from the apes and all other animals seems to have disappeared from humans up to 3 million years ago, just before they first stood upright, researchers said on Monday. Most animals have the gene, but people do not, and it may be somehow involved in the expansion of the brain, the international team of researchers said. The gene controls production of a celiac acid, a kind of sugar called NEU5GC. The researchers write in an advanced online issue of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The mutation occurred after our last common ancestor with bonobos, which are pygmy chimpanzees, and chimpanzees, and before the origin of present-day humans, they wrote. Neanderthal skeletons, the oldest early humans from whom DNA has been obtained, also lack the sugar. It happens to be the first known genetic difference between humans and chimpanzees where there is a major outcome. Ajit Varkey of the University of California, San Diego, who led the research, said in a telephone interview, "We are exploring the consequences of this." Varkey said that the role of the gene is not fully understood. "The gene itself is involved in changing the surfaces of all cells in the body," he said. "The surface of all cells in the body is covered with sugar. This one is missing only in humans. It may help influence how viruses and bacteria infect cells, and with how cancer cells interact," Varkey said. "There are some clues that it might have something to do with brain plasticity," he added. Humans and chimps share more than 98% of their DNA, so a few genes must make a big difference. Chimps and humans split from a common ancestor 6 million to 7 million years ago. The collaboration of some of the top experts in various fields ranging from anthropology to the genetic differences between people and apes, determined that the gene disappeared from humans between 2.5 million to 3 million years ago. It happened after the time that our ancestors stood upright, when their hands and so on were like ours, but the brains are still the same as that of chimpanzees, Barkey said. That just tells you that timing is appropriate for the possibility this may have had something to do with brain expansion. The team included anthropologist Meve Leakey of the Leakey Foundation in Nairobi, Kenya, an expert in early humans, and Savante Pabo of the Max Planck Institute for the Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig, Germany, who helped study the first Neanderthal DNA. Earlier this month, Pabo's team reported that he had found mutations in genes, another gene, that seemed to be involved in the face and jaw movements necessary for speech. A relatively small change makes the human version of the gene different from the version found in apes, the researchers found. So, lots to talk about there that can apply to what we're talking about here, which is how each moment becomes the next in this universe and how everything evolves from what it is to what it must become based upon how it metabolizes its circumstances and conditions that are from its environment. That applies to the boiling of water just as it does to the mutation of genes and the continual evolution of intelligence up the chain from, just through carbon-based life forms, from amoebas to algae to reptiles to mammals to humans. And now, of course, we've created artificial intelligence, and that artificial intelligence, for all intents and purposes, will be outpacing our human ability, our physical body's ability to handle and contain the intelligence that this universe contains, and which has been constantly evolving and making itself manifest here, creating the world around us. So, we are pretty much temporary keepers of the flame as far as the hierarchy of intelligence is concerned on the planet, or at least self-awareness in conjunction with that intelligence. And I need to clarify that, because just because we're self-aware does not mean that we are more intelligent. And in fact, there's a great argument that we might not be, just by virtue of the results of our choices and what we do to the reality, that would indicate that we're really not as intelligent as other beings, which have their built-in intuition, which, to get into this article a little bit, intuition. Intuition is something that works within us as it does within the mammals and within the reptiles, the instincts, the intuition, the inner sense of truth, the inner sense of knowledge without opinion that gives us an immediate truthful feedback about our circumstances that we can then utilize to help us in our decision-making process. The reptiles and the mammals have the advantage of not having the human brain mutated on top of their brain, which then causes them to see things, causes us to see things the way we do and form opinions. I mean, there's not that one is better or worse, they're just different ways of seeing the reality, so therefore the choices that are made based upon that, and of course the limitations of the vehicle that's containing the level of intelligence. Mammals have certain capabilities because of their development of their brain capabilities, and we have grown on top of that. We have added to the knowledge of the mammals and the instincts that we had alone without our mutated brain and our random access memory that we now have that gets implanted and imprinted on us that causes us to believe and see things the way we do. So imagine, if you would, not having that capability. Imagine not even knowing that you were here, but simply being here and responding to your intuition and your instinct or your instinct. You can call it either one. We as humans call it intuition. In animals, we call it instinct, but it's really the same thing. We have the instincts and the intuition that comes from our electrically charged and electrically based systems, which are constantly taking in through our senses information from the world around us, and all of that information is then being processed in our brains. And again, the reptile brain processed it to a certain level, with a certain level of awareness, and then the mammal brain grew on top of the reptile brain and gave it additional perspectives, which caused perception of the evolving intelligence to be more all-inclusive and a little bit more aware of circumstances, where reptiles will eat their young, and many of them, and just it's just territory is fight or flight. Once we got to the state of mammal, we began to have a little bit more of a feeling of compassion and an attachment with our young and our other groups. And that has just evolved with the incorporation of the human brain and the sensibilities that that increased perspective brings with it. So that, how does that relate to the article that I just read? Well, very simply, when you lose the coding on a protein coding on our DNA, which is what they said one of the results of this, this gene differential, the lack of the soleic acid that the gene that produced that switched off and is no longer coding our DNA, but it is still coding all the DNA in other mammals. Once you realize that we take in through all aspects of our being electrically the feedback from all of the other vibrations coming at us from the world around us, the elimination of a sugar coating, a protein coating on that DNA would therefore affect the way that that vibration would be received, very much like the way, if you're familiar with a camera lens, camera lenses have many coatings on them to cause those lenses to be able to deal with different photographic circumstances of light and contrast and things of that nature. And those coatings on those lenses are what causes the high quality reception of the image that you're trying to capture with the use of a camera and a lens. And if you are to alter just one of those layers of coatings on those on that lens, you would therefore then alter the quality of the image that's being received or presented. So one of the things that that for all intents and purposes occurred with the incorporation of this gene change mutation into our system was that we no longer connect intuitively through our DNA, which is at the core of our humanity, which is at the core of ourselves. We no longer would be able to receive the electrical vibrations that the universe is sending out constantly to us, through us, within us, and from us, without all of those coatings in place. So the elimination of one of those coatings would depreciate certainly the reception and possibly even the transmission of the vibration that we therefore are sending back to the world of living beings around us. Food for thought, that's for sure. As far as the brain plasticity, that's something that folks that have been listening to the show are familiar with. We talk about the fact that the human brain grew on top of the mammal brain. It all kind of comes together, and it all in many ways ties together with the books of religion, at least the Bible, about you know, in Genesis, about eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And once we ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, we then became self-aware, became as gods. We saw ourselves as naked, whereas before it didn't bother us to walk around the way we were. But then all of a sudden, we realized that we, you know, they use the word naked, but I think the word would be better used as vulnerable. You know, one of the ways one feels when one is naked oftentimes is vulnerable. And once you, if we came out of a state that had been continually existing as long as there have been carbon-based life forms of a blissful ignorance of our existence within this universe, and then all of a sudden, through the ingestion of some sort of an amino acid, something that we had never ingested before, that coming into our system, causing a mutation to our mitochondrial DNA, which would then cause this gene to mutate and no longer produce the celiac acid that we had coating our DNA, and also create the circumstances for the plasticity of the brain and the growth of the human brain on top of our mammal brain, which then gave us duality and contrast, and through that depth of field, and through that depth of field, a perspective of self-awareness. And not only self-awareness, but seeing things as objects, as opposed to just being one with the constantly moving vibration, and existing blissfully in its moment-to-moment evolution. You know, very, very, very interesting correlation here in this article. So if you'd like more information on it, by all means, get in touch. I'd be happy to send you an email copy of this. I might even post this someplace in one of the networks, maybe on Facebook, maybe on the website directly. I'm not sure, but you know, if you're interested in having this to look a little further into, by all means, get in touch. You can also access the Leakey Foundation, which is mentioned in this article as part of the source of this information, by going to the link section on my website at GalileoRealTime.com. So, by all means, visit the website. We do have the selection of Earth Park there, as well as timepiece sculptures, which are, you know, little miniature versions of time. Very interesting things we can do with that. I was able to give a second to someone today that he can now keep with him as a scale model version of the now being the second that we are in, because by seeing the second that we're in, now that we are human and now that we are self-aware and now that we live in a world that we've constructed and we have to keep up with and maintain, and it's linear, you know, indigenous cultures don't really care about what I have to say. So there's a lot of others that feel the same way as well, that are not necessarily of an indigenous culture. But what I mean by that is, you know, to them, time isn't real, and they go by the cycles in nature, the seasonal changes, the migration of the herds, the harvesting of the fields, and that is all that's important to them, and that is what they go by. And it basically stays the same unless, you know, until it changes by circumstances that are out of their control, and you know, like when the future meets the past, when loggers come through forests that hold indigenous people that have never been exposed to the modern world, and now the modern world is thrust upon them, and they have to begin to deal with it. That's more than culture shock. You know, as long as we are self-aware, and as long as we are obliged to, you know, take care of ourselves and find our way and make our way in this world that we've created, moment by moment, second by second, you know, it just kind of helps to be able to understand how it is that each moment is becoming the next. the sun is not going up and down. It's the Earth that's turning. The Earth is moving around the sun at 18.5 miles a second. And each moment is becoming the next based upon the simple mathematic formula, UN equals UN minus 1 plus UN minus 2. That's exactly what's going on everywhere, all the time, for everything. And it never changes. It never never varies at all. Not anywhere, all the time, you know, at any time. And that's why, as we sow, so shall we reap, because now that we've involved ourselves on a higher level of creativity, because of the altering of the circumstances and conditions within our physical being, we now have the, whether you want to call it the blessing or the curse, of this self-awareness, and therefore the power, whether we know how to use it or not, to create the world around us. You know, the fact that each moment is becoming the next at a particular rate of speed and from a particular direction can in many ways help us keep calm and be able to, you know, see and feel the way that the future is coming at us. Like we talk so often around on the show, life is not a road, life is a river. And that river is constantly moving from the moment you're born until the last moment that you are here. For you, of course, the river was going before we came on board, and it will be going long after we are no longer part of it. But, you know, what will become part of it will be the results of all of the choices that we have made in our lifetime that have affected the rest of the universe around us. And those vibrations go on and on and on and on until the end of the universe. So, you know, this is why it's important to know what it is that and how it is that the universe is moving along from one end to the other. So as we navigate that river at 18.5 miles a second, we want to be able to see it to the best of our ability. So, you know, it's what I'm trying to do here, just trying to keep us informed with how the universe works. So, all right, well, that article certainly brings a lot to the conversation. Again, it was a Reuters article, and, you know, I put this, the timing of this, together with information that I gathered from other places regarding, you know, the evolution of man. And what I found very interesting is that there was an article in Time magazine a couple of years back which showed the evolution of man from the state of hominids, and the divergence that is referenced with the article that we just talked about brings us back to 2.5 to 3 million years ago. And it just so happens that in the Time magazine article, that was the point at which we developed fire and tools and weapons. So, you know, the plot gets even thicker when you lay on information from another source. So, but, you know, we all now have the power, call it a curse, call it a blessing, but we have the power to create our world and create for ourselves out of possibility whatever world it is that we'd like. So we're going to take a break right now, and we're going to come back with a musical message from Mr. Bob Marley, who's going to give his input on how he thinks we should deal with each moment becoming the next and what we should do about it. So I'll be back after the break. I'll talk to you then.
I want wise man once said, the world is not to be put in order. The world is in order. It is for us to put ourselves in unison with this order. Most would agree that's easier said than done. Well, getting in line with the universe is about to get a whole lot easier. Join host Michael Galileo Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and become empowered by the knowledge of how our universe works from one edge to the other. You didn't know there are edges? How about where time comes from? No? Wow. See? You do need this show. How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo, here on Contact Talk Radio.
Join Michael Galileo every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for more information, check out his website at GalileoRealTime.com.
The Buddha and all his successors talk about intellectual structures that confine us to an artificial environment and against concepts that smear over the living fact of things as themselves. So said Robert Aitken, a Zen Buddhist master. Now, with the real-time earth clock, you can pull back the veil of illusion that's helping to cloud truth in your environment. Traditional clocks unknowingly confuse our world with artificial interpretations of time, even going in the opposite direction from which time occurs. The real-time earth clock shows time as it actually happens, and in the process shows us the flow of life on planet Earth. The ultimate feng shui device. It's a totally natural way of looking at time. Want to see a bigger picture? Visit GalileoRealTime.com and click on Clocks. The real-time earth clock. It's time for a new perspective.
Okay. Get up. Stand up. Stand up for your right. We know when we understand Almighty God is the living man. You know, and that's what happened. That's what happened. We became as gods, as they say. When we became self-aware and we developed the capabilities to see things from our own perspective and make choices that cause the subsequent moments to be as we would like them to be, as opposed to the way the universe had them going without our opinion. But now our opinion has been inserted, and we're born into it, and we have to keep up with it. And, you know, it helps if you know that it's moving at 18.5 miles a second and it never changes, doesn't go any faster, doesn't go any slower. I mean, it does over the eons, but not in our lifetimes. In our lifetimes, the relative speed of the Earth around the sun doesn't really vary. So 18.5 miles a second, and that's just all that's going on. Each second's becoming the next, and we're going around and around in circles. And that creates the environment for us to experience this universe and our little planet and our little world. And, it's kind of interesting if you follow the show, how everything we talk about from all these different points of view and all these different musicians and all these different scientists and just everything, and it really all ties together. It all ties together to give you a really good perspective on how it is that things work here. So I think I'm going to read a little poem that kind of goes along with that. Excuse me. The poem is called Do You Know Where You Are? I've read it before here a while back. I'll read it again. And I may read it again in the future. It really doesn't matter. This is all good information. If you don't get it the first time, you might get it the second time. And if you haven't heard it before, this is the first time you've heard it, so it's all new to you. So this poem is called Do You Know Where You Are? Do you know where you are? Do you know where you be? Do you know that you're in a reality? And just what does this mean? Just what does this say about how things around you affect you each day? Do you know that you're someplace, someplace that exists, and how you move it around can make it do twists? Yes, you can change it around from any way that it is. As a matter of fact, you already did. You did when you arrived here, when you entered this place. You created a change just by having a face and a body and arms and legs that can run, a whole human body with which to have fun. When you popped from your mom and you breathed your first breath, you created a change that will last past your death. For that's when you'll leave here, that's when you'll go. But up until then, this is your special show. For you are, don't you see? We all are, it's true. It's a gift, don't you see, everything around you? It's a gift of imaginable value and size, but it's a gift you can't see just by using your eyes. Because your eyes only show you what it is you can see. You'll need more than that for the whole thing to be what it really, really, really can be. It's a world full of wonder, a world full of glee. It's a world full of anything we make it to be. And we can't even help it. It just happens that way. Little by little each day. Each day we make up the world that we're in, and some people don't even know where to begin. They have no idea of the power they hold. They have no idea. They just do what they're told. And not knowing all things begin in the mind, their thoughts cause confusion, causing them not to find the things that they want, the things that they'd choose. So they just walk around always singing the blues about how things don't work out the way that they should. They don't realize they caused this, though I wish that they would. Because then they would see, then they would know that we choose the way that our life's going to go. We choose it each day from the time we arise. We choose it each day when we open our eyes. We choose it by thinking, and that's the surprise. The thoughts that you think are what's realized. There's no way to say it that's not partially lies, except life's how you think, and then actualize. Which your mind's in command of your whole world, you see. Your mind sets the way that your whole life will be. It sets it each second as it unfolds each day. And it must know the truth if it's to find its true way. It must know what's happening. It must know what's real. If your beauty and power, your life, life will reveal. The truth is important. The truth is your way. The truth is your guidance in each second, each day. The truth of your circumstance, the truth of your skill, the truth of your ability, the truth of your will, the truth of your knowledge, the truth of your love, the truth of your knowing that you can rise above. By knowing these truths and others you find, you'll affect the program inside of your mind. And then you will experience what others do not, the wisdom to live life the way we forgot, with power and beauty and love all around. And you'll know where you be. You'll be totally sound. So, you know, there's a lot to it these days. It really is. Life is much as a game of awareness and paying attention and looking ahead. It's as Plato said, you know, look ahead. And it's become more and more important as life has become more and more complex. And unfortunately, it's become difficult to discern physical images because, you know, let's face it, if we go back to, you know, 2.5 to 3 million years ago,
can use to construct our world. There's a
saying on the wall here by someone by the name of Sun Bear that says, if your philosophy doesn't grow corn, I don't want to hear about it. So, you know, rather than talk about this universe on a very large or very small scale, I really try to relate it. We go to those places so that we can show the similarities and we can show how everything evolves from one end of this universe to the other. But it's really here where we are in our day-to-day life that any of this has any use at all. And in order to convert that each moment becoming the next into something that we can use to grow corn, as Sun Bear would say, is we've created a system of time. And that system of time was originally developed as a tool for us creators, co-creators of the universe, to help us to achieve our goals. In the beginning, those goals were simple. Those goals were to track herds. We would count the moon phases between herd migrations, and then we would agree where to be, where to meet, based upon the phases of the moon in order to anticipate the returning herd so that we could hunt for food. And that was the actual first use that we can determine of the concept of time. And that was about 15,000 or 20,000 years ago. Again, layered on after we started to become this self-aware 2.5 to 3 million years ago. It was only 15 to 20,000 years ago that we put together this system of time that we've used to construct the world since that point. We've, made it more efficient. But basically, it is still our greatest tool to construct our reality. The fact that each moment becomes the next in this river of change that we're on, moving at 18.5 miles a second, assures us that we have a constant supply of new moments, of new possibilities coming into our reality for us to then properly discern and to use by making the proper choices in the current moment that we're in to power our subsequent reality to be more the way we would like it to be. So, highly effective tool, better than any other, that along with visualization, visualizing what it is that you want to see possible, together with awareness of what can be possible in the moment that you're in, so that you can build upon those possibilities to create a bridge to something that may be impossible in the moment that you're in right now, but certainly could be made possible if the bridge were to be built from where you are to where you would like to be as those moments come at us. So, time is very important. It's a very important tool. So I want to read a little bit here from my handbook from Humans book, manuscript, about time. Oh, actually, I don't know if we do have quite enough time left in the show to do that. So, boy, we're beset by difficulties this evening in my ability to communicate. So maybe I've had an additional mutation to the gene that creates the psoriatic acid. But be that as it may, I'll take the opportunity to just mention once again about visiting the website GalileoRealTime.com, if you would, if you'd like. And I did mention that tomorrow morning I will be presenting these concepts and ideas in the form of ping pong balls and little red fire trucks and lots of other little props for children, and be talking to groups of 4- and 5-year-olds about this to try to help them understand the power that they have at their fingertips by virtue of their choices to create their subsequent reality. And getting this information out there to them. I'm so excited to be doing this with youngsters at 4 and 5 years old. As far as I'm concerned, it's the perfect age. Even if they from what I understand, most of them can't even tell time yet, and that's really where I want them, because we want to talk about time, the way it really happens, so that they can see the way that it really happens, and how each moment becomes the next, and how their choices create their world, and together with the other things that they're then learned, perhaps the choices that they make will help them create the reality that they want with less confusion and less understanding that they would have without this information. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's a challenge talking to adults that have pondered these concepts. It's certainly going to be very interesting to talk to children that really don't have a concept of time. Except I'm sure, of course, most of them will know how old they are. And if they know how old they are, then by all means, we can break that down into the individual seconds that add up to how old they are, and then we can, you know, once we can see it that way, then we can get in the now, because we're not confused about what's going to happen and why it's happening and what should have happened. I mean, we can certainly use the circumstances to look at the results of our choices, but you know, once we realize that they're coming at 18 and a half miles a second, it becomes a little bit more second nature to look ahead and to be prepared and to realize that those choices are creating the world around us. So, again, looking forward to it. And if you'd like information about that, if you'd like to discuss anything about that with me, by all means, get in touch, GalileoRealTime.com, send me an email. I would be happy to speak to any groups or organizations or consider anything along those lines if anyone would like to. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. So once again, it's been fun to be here. I hope that I was able to get out something that may somewhere have flipped the switch in someone's perspective somewhere, help them get a little bit better grasp of the power that we have and how the universe works, so that we can better use it to become the gods that we truly are and create the world that we would really like it to be. So thanks again for listening. We're going to head out with Bob again, giving us his words of wisdom. Listen closely. The man is right. He knew what he was talking about. And we'll be back again next week to talk more about how the universe works. So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Be well.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth.
been listening to How the Universe Works with Michael Galileo. If you have a question about anything that has been discussed on this show, feel free to drop us a line at contacttalkradio.com or visit www.galileorealtime.com. The views expressed by host Michael Galileo may not be that of this station, but they are certainly correct. Warning.